يعطي حياتي قرآن.
رحمن يا رحمن.
You are listening to episode 10, hadith number 21. بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, my dear sisters. Once again, I welcome you all to hadith number 21 or 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi Siri sisters. Ahlan wa sahlan. Before discussing today's hadith, let me give you a brief introduction to this hadith, sisters. This hadith is another instance in which a few words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have expressed the entirety of Islam, Iman and Istiqamah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked to state something that would be sufficient for the person such that he or she would not have to ask anyone afterwards. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this reply to him, subhanallah. If a person adheres to this hadith properly, he or she will be applying his or her Islam in a proper manner, inshaAllah. Today's hadith, sisters, hadith number 21 is narrated on the authority of Abu Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He said, he asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, tell me a statement about Islam such that I will not have to ask anyone other than you. Upon that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered saying, say, I believe in Allah, and then stand firm and steadfast to that. This hadith is recorded in Sahih Muslim, sisters. The Sahaba who asked this question has put his words perfectly in his statement, subhanallah. We should not think that either this question or the answer to this question is relevant to this particular Sahaba. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised he subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the wali of this deen. He is the one who is going to protect the religion of Al-Islam until the day of judgment. Not only the Quran, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected and he will protect the ahadith that are relevant, the hadith that answer our questions regardless of time and age for us to benefit, so that we will never regret that we would have asked such and such question if we were living with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, the question of those Sahabas are enough for us to learn our deen, Al-Islam, sisters. This is a perfect example of such a question. Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a strange question. O Messenger of Allah, tell me a statement about Islam such that I will not have to ask anyone other than you. In this hadith, the person asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell him something concise about Islam. It was to be such a comprehensive statement that the person would not have to ask anyone after he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this particular question. In addition, the statement must be so clear that the person would not be in need of getting any further explanation after getting the response from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, both its comprehensiveness and its clarity should be such that the person would not be in need of asking anyone other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. In response, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him a statement that was so comprehensive that it summarized his mission of 23 years. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered saying, say, I believe in Allah. In his comprehensive response, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to say, I believe in Allah. Here the point is not simply a statement upon the tongue, sisters. It can be proven through other evidences that a mere statement with the tongue without belief in the heart does not avail a person in any way. Hence, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling this particular person, say with true conviction and believe in your heart that I believe in Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued saying, and then stand firm and steadfast to that. After having the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true one God, one must remain steadfast in that belief. Subhanallah. The point to be noted here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator himself, command this in the glorious Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in surah number 4, verse number 136, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. O you who have believed, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, and the book that He sent down upon His Messenger, and the scripture which He sent down before. And whoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day has certainly gone far astray. Now, I am very sure that we all must be having this doubt in our hearts, that we believe in Allah already. We have Iman in Allah. And also, we are already Muslims. Not only that, in this particular hadith, a believing Muslim has come to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the hopes of getting comprehensive and clear guidance. In his response, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to say, I believe in Allah. What is the meaning of this order directed towards someone who was already a believer? So what does this command really mean, sisters? Even the ayah I recited addresses the believers. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that ayah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believers to believe in Allah, His messengers and His books. Subhanallah. Do you understand, sisters? What are the reasons for this command? If you think deeply, we should understand that our iman, our faith is something which should be verbalized, said with our tongues with conviction in our hearts, practiced and kept alive by both heart and our limbs. Secondly, our iman always fluctuates, sisters. Subhanallah, it doesn't stay at a constant level. It has highs and lows. I'm very sure that we all have experienced it in our lives. Sometimes we feel very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try to do all goods, be good, and stay away from all kinds of sins. Some of the times we feel lonely. We feel that we are away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We feel that our iman is low. Thirdly, we should understand that it is not an overnight job to maintain a high level of iman. It needs some striving within ourselves. We have to put some effort to keep it high. It's a spiritual workout, basically, sisters. So, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanding us to do this striving, this struggling, or the workout to keep our iman at a high level. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, "Qul amantu billahi fastaqim." So Rasulullah alaihi wasallam says, "Fastaqim." The term istiqama means remain steadfast. According to the scholars of Islam, sisters, iman, that is our faith, is belief in the heart, words on the tongue, and actions of the body. This includes three main things, sisters. First of all, if we have iman, we should believe in our hearts. Not only that, the words of belief should be pronounced on our tongues. Thirdly, our limbs, our body parts should display or reflect the belief in our heart. Our body should react. It should display the essence of iman. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah points out that the heart will not achieve istiqama until two conditions are met, sisters. First of all, he mentions that the person must love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than any other person or thing that he loves. He should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than our families, our friends, our children, our wealth, etc. The second aspect of for the heart to have a great deal of respect for the commands and prohibitions of Islam. That means we have to do whatever we have been commanded to do and stay away from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from. Subhanallah, when we learn the Islamic history, we learn many stories where people became Muslims just by looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba, just by looking at their behavior, sisters. How this is possible? It's because of their ikhlas, purity in intention, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything in this world, and having istiqama in their lives. Subhanallah, do we have this istiqama in our lives? Do we really practicing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded us to do? Are the people around us, like our neighbors, friends, colleagues, attracted to Islam by looking at our behavior? What kind of image that we portray about Islam to them, sisters? Subhanallah. Subhanallah, it's amazing to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some women as excellent examples in the Quran. We all know about the story of Asiya, wife of the tyrant Fir'aun. She was a queen, subhanallah. It did not prevent her from accepting the truth, verbalizing it, and being steadfast on the oneness of Allah. Subhanallah, she was asking a palace in Jannah, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How amazing her story is, sisters. How was the story of Maryam alayhi salam? How much hardships she had to go through in her life. Subhanallah, these women are mentioned in the Quran as examples for both men and women. Story of Sumayya radiallahu anha. She was the first woman, in fact, the first person to be killed only because of her belief in La ilaha illallah. We know about Bilal radiallahu anha and his story. From all these stories, what we learn, sisters, what is the lesson we draw? That Jannah is not free. Subhanallah, wallahi, the Jannah is not free. We need to pay price for it. That is istiqama. The price is istiqama. It's not free for us, sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to earn Jannah, sisters. If we look at our actions, we fail to be steadfast or do istiqama in many places. We don't follow the do's and don'ts of Islam. Subhanallah, if you look at the society, there is free mixing everywhere. No one is ashamed of what they are doing. Also, in the name of socialization, we take part in celebrations which call for shirk. We try to celebrate the festivals of other people. And also, we involve in riba, alcoholism. Subhanallah, our young Muslimah, they involve in feminist movements. Subhanallah, we fail to understand how Islam has liberated women. That's the main reason we fall into these traps. We are away from the religion, so we don't know what Islam has to offer for women. So the next question is how to be steadfast, how to do istiqama. So first of all, I'm going to give you a few tips. First of all, constantly check the level of ikhlas and ihsan. Before you do anything, check your intention, sisters. Are we doing this for the sake of Allah, or are we doing this for the sake of any other person? Secondly, stay away from bad deeds. Not only doing good, sisters, we have to be away from bad deeds, and we have to stop people from doing bad deeds. Thirdly, seek knowledge. It's not just learning. Seeking knowledge means you spend time, spend effort, spend money in seeking the authentic knowledge of Deen al-Islam. Fourthly, make dua for a sound heart. As we have discussed this hadith in our podcast, the famous dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dini. O changer of the hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. And also have good friends and neighbors, sisters. The friends and relatives should be someone who can bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can remind about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sisters. Before I am winding up today's podcast, let me remind one of the greatest blessings or one of the glad tidings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for his servants at the time of his death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah 41, verse number 30. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَهْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Indeed, those who have said, Our Lord is Allah, and then remain steadfast, the angels will descend upon him saying, Do not fear and do not grieve, but receive good tidings of paradise, which you were promised. In verse number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدْعُونَ. We were your allies in the worldly life and in the hereafter, and you will have therein whatever your souls desire, and you will have therein whatever you request. In verse number 32, Allah says, نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ, as accommodation from a Lord who is forgiving and merciful. Subhanallah, what a great reminder and a glad tiding at the time of death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me and you among those who do good, forbid evil, stay steadfast in the religion of Al-Islam, and attain his blessing in both the worlds. Ameen. With that nasiha, I'm winding up today's podcast, sisters. Inshallah, I'll meet you all with the next hadith next week. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.